Welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, joined by producer Mike Harris at Winter Park. And this is a post-draft edition of the Wobcast. And just as we did last year, we welcome in a special guest to analyze what the Vikings did over the weekend in the draft. He's Scott Studwell, our director of college scouting for the Vikings. Scott, busy weekend, but it's all good, right?
Well, yeah, it was. It's been a busy 10 months.
We
start again in July and run all the way through, obviously, the draft weekend. So it's been a long, arduous grind,
yeah.
I think it all paid off. I think we got some really good players to help us win a championship here in Minnesota.
All right, we're going to get into a couple of those players and talk about them. But you said something that reminds me of a good point to make. It's been a long 10 months. I mean, for a lot of people that follow the NFL, even good quality, below the surface level fans, the NFL draft is like a 1 month thing. It's like the scouting combine is the beginning of it, and then it ends with the draft. But for you guys who are in the war rooms and you're at the small schools and the big schools and the all-star games, it's dang near a year long process, isn't it?
It really is. It's a 12 month process, but Fortunately, Rick believes in the same philosophy that I do, is you got to give your guys some time off to get away from it. Mm-hmm. So, once the draft is over, they'll go home and decompress and have a little bit of time to spend with their family. And then we go for a spring scouting meeting 3 weeks from now. We get the prospect list for
– Wow.
for next fall and basically set our schedule and start over. So, it's a year-round job, but it's this time of year you have to get away from it for a little bit. And, the last thing I want to do right now is evaluate another player.
Right. Okay, so for all the players that you evaluate, the draft is over and you typically wind up with as few as six or seven, but sometimes it can be nine or ten like we've had the last 2 years. All the guys you evaluated, and to only get 9 or 10, when it's over, is there ever any, like, not buyer's remorse, but, like, regret that there's so many good players out there that we didn't get to have and you spent all that time studying them and now they're not on our team?
I think that's part of the process. I mean, yeah. you have to like a lot of guys. I remember Denny Green saying that all the time, and that's why we evaluate all these players. And a lot of times, a lot of people look at them differently. You may see them in this stretch of games and the next guy that goes through the school and sees them in the next stretch of games and likes them better. Or maybe he's played better. Maybe he's – so, we have to get a lot of looks. We have to get a lot of grades on these players. And then really we make a consensus evaluation on each and every player. Mm-hmm. And there's probably maybe a touch of overkill to what we do with the amount of names that we have on our board. We probably had close to 1,000 names on our board by the time it was all said and done. And then you only pick,
right?
Eight or nine of them. But, they're all different players and they're all talented in their own right and they all have a value, whether it's a first-round pick or a college free agent. So, but you have to go through that process to weed them out and to make sure that you're finding the right ones. And we always know we're only going to get a swipe at a handful of players,
right.
And we just got to make sure we pick the right ones.
So you've been a part of the Vikings organization for 4 decades, 37 seasons, 4 different decades, 14 years as a player, 21 in personnel, 11 in your current position. So I would have said coming into the draft that you've basically probably seen everything you could see in the NFL, but that wasn't true. Because something happened this year that has never happened to you. We had 3 first-round picks. The Vikings have done that one other time. It was before you were around, 1967, and it was 3 pretty good players, Gene Washington, Clinton Jones, and Alan Page. That's a good haul. Do you think the 3 first-rounders you got this year can be as good of a haul as that?
Well, we would certainly like to think so. It's an overused cliche at times, that we were surprised that a couple of the kids were there when we picked. And we had really good grades on all 3 of those players. We were very surprised when Sharif and Xavier fell to us. We really liked them both as players and as fits for our locker room and our organization. And we're obviously very content at the time we were off the clock at 25 and really – you know, it felt as though the evening was over. There were a couple players that we still really wanted to try and get our hands on, but weren't sure if we were going to be able to. Basically talked about potentially maybe moving around somewhere in the second round to try and get to a couple of these players. But, you know, so I'll give credit to Rob and George. You know, they made some exploratory phone calls, and they were sniffing around a little bit and found a team that wanted to potentially get out of that first round and pick up some extra picks. And so, you know, it all happened pretty fast. And it, yeah. But, you know, either way, that was a player, you know, Cordarrelle's a player that we coveted from the get-go. We didn't know if we'd be able to get our hands on him, and we had an opportunity to get our hands on him. So you know, Rick was willing to pull the trigger, and it worked out for us.
Yeah, I mean, you get him at 29. There was a lot of people that thought he would go in the middle of the first round, and here you guys are able to position yourselves to get him at the end of the first round. Speaking of a player who fell further than anyone thought, Sharif Floyd. I mean, people looked at this draft and thought there were maybe three elite defensive tackles: Floyd, Richardson from Missouri, and Star Lotulelei. And no matter how you shook it out, how you ranked them, you figured all three would be gone by the time you got to 23. But why do you think that Floyd was still there? Was it all the interior linemen that ended up going, the run on offensive linemen that pushed good players down? Or how do you think Sharif Floyd gets to 23?
It's hard to say why players fall. You know, if the teams that were projected to take him early went in a different direction. You know, there was a big run on the offensive tackles early in the draft, so that may have affected it somewhat. You know, he's probably not a great schematic fit for every team in the league. He fits a system like ours more so than he does a 34 team. So, you know, you have that to factor in as well. So it's hard to put your finger on why guys drop, and you know, people, they take different needs, and all the teams have different needs. And if they liked a player to fill a need more so than they liked him, then, you know, it happens. But, you know, we were elated to get him where we got him, and he should be a great player for us.
So we have Patterson, who's going to develop as a receiver and be an elite returner for us, we hope. We have Floyd, who's going to sit in there with Kevin Williams and learn the defensive tackle position. Xavier Rhodes from Florida State, billed as a big physical press corner. That's how he's described by all the experts in the media who don't have jobs with teams. But is that what he is? Is he a big physical corner, or do you think there's more to him than just that?
That certainly is going to be the earmark of why he was drafted. I mean, he's got great size. He has great length. He has very good speed for a player his size. He is better in press. He's better when he can get his hands on people and reroute receivers. And he can match up with the big physical receivers in our division. You know, he's going to need a little work off the ball because he didn't, you know, he played more press than he did off coverage at Florida State. So, but he's a good enough athlete that it shouldn't be a major transition for him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's good in support. He's physical as a tackler. I mean, he's got all the traits and attributes that we're looking for at the position. And, you know, he was just one of those players that, he was sitting there, he was just too hard to pass.
With last question on these three first-rounders, then I want to get into the other guys. With any of the three of them, is there a game or two or three that you can remember? And I'm not asking for each one, give me a game, but for any of the three, a game that you went to or a practice you saw, a moment that you remember about any of the three of them that really stood out to you while you were on the road studying?
Not really. It's the body of work that you see over the course of every game you watch, and it's the consistency there. Is it more flash than substance? Is it, you know, and all three of them were consistent players. I mean, in every game you watched, I mean, you could see all the physical skill that they had. You know, and obviously they all get beat on occasion, and but, you know, there was a level of consistency that you saw from these three players. And so when you factor that in with their physical skill, you know, it makes them easy guys to grade.
Sure. All right. Two Big Ten linebackers we take, and teammates actually from the same school. You were a Big Ten linebacker too, so I bet you you like these two kids. We'll start with Gerald Hodges, fourth-round pick. began his college career as a safety, I read, and then they switched him to linebacker because of some injuries. So what was the thinking there behind Gerald Hodges? What led you guys to pick him?
We came into this draft wanting to get some depth at our linebacker group and get some competition there. Gerald was a hard player to evaluate just based on the way they used him in their scheme. He was a field backer. So you rarely got to see him play down in the box because he was in space a lot. But we were able to see a smattering of that at the East-West game. He's a good athlete. He can run. He can drop. He can cover. He's got the size to be a physical player in the box. So, he has a lot of the skill set that we're looking for as maybe a potential Nick Mike. He can play Will for us. He could probably cross train to Sam. I mean, he's got the athletic ability to probably play all three spots, but we see him really as more of a Will and a Sam for us right now.
Okay. His teammate also at Penn State, Michael Mauti or Mautai?
Mauti,
okay. Big Ten linebacker of the year last year. So here's a kid who had to fight through some injuries, some ACL injuries. Now we have a current linebacker who's been a great player for us that you drafted in 2006, Chad Greenway, who had some ACL injuries too, and he's come back from those. So certainly the injury thing is something he's going to have to shake off, but we've seen players do that. If he can do that, what kind of player do the Vikings have in this kid?
We see him as a Mike backer. He's a tough, physical, hardworking, blue-collar, intelligent, instinctive. He's got all the traits that you want at that position. He's got some athletic limitations in space. I don't know if he'll be a three-down player. Mm-hmm. And really the biggest knock is just the durability issue, which is probably why he was still sitting around in the seventh round.
Right.
But he's got a great nose for the ball. He plays the game the way you want to see people play the game. He's got phenomenal instincts. He's a great worker. He's got everything you're looking for. He's been hurt quite a bit. Hopefully for his sake and for our sake that he can stay healthy.
Well, he's got a couple of inspirational guys you can look to for ACL recoveries, I think, on our team with Adrian and Chad. But that's the thing. When you get to this late round, sixth and seventh round, I mean, these guys aren't perfect prospects. That's why they're still there. So you're looking for a dominant physical trait or you're looking for an impressive consistency level from these guys, right? I mean, those are some of the traits you look for in a kid late in the round, right? Something that you can't coach or something that's just – it might not be a perfect prospect, but he's got some sort of outstanding trait that it's too hard to leave him on the board, right?
Well, yeah, and really the bottom line with a player like this is he's a good football player.
Yeah.
And that in itself is enough to warrant – taking him where we took him.
Yep. Travis Bond, offensive lineman from North Carolina. Now, one of our former players, Corey Chavis, he does a lot of draft studying and prognostication, and he goes on with PA, Radio Voice of the Vikings, a lot. He says that North Carolina had one of the better offensive lines in the country, but no one really knew about it because they weren't a sexy team and not a lot of people talked about them. Well, this kid was, I believe, the starting right guard for them. Looks like he's got unbelievable size, kind of a mauler, a road grader type. Is that how you'd describe him?
Yeah, he played both right guard and right tackle there. They actually had three seniors in their offensive line. Obviously, Cooper, the guard that went in the first round, mm-hmm. and Williams, a tackle who I believe went in the fourth round.
Yeah, underclassman, I think. Yeah.
Travis played right guard. He played right tackle. He's got great size. Mike Shelton was at his workout, said he had a really good workout for a man of his physical stature. So, we liked the way he was wired. We thought he had some position flexibility. And when you're down there in those later rounds, we're looking for people that can come in and potentially make it as a sixth or seventh guy and be active on game day and play a couple different positions. So he's got the physical size to do it. He has the strength to do it. It'll probably take him a little time to get accustomed to the speed of our game. But, it's, like you say, sixth round value. I think he was a good pick there.
Now, as a guy who battled in the trenches for 14 years in the NFL and knows football inside and out and nasty and all that, to spend a draft pick on a kicker last year had to just eat at you, and now we spend one on a punter. I mean, do you have to step out of the room when we get to those discussions? Does it bother you so much?
Well, no. I actually kind of just separate myself from those conversations. Yeah. And this is a kid that – you know, he's got the capability to be a kickoff. He can kick off. He can punt. Yep. He's left-footed. So, you know, it brings a different dimension to what you're doing in the kicking game. We just thought he had really good value where we took him. I cringe a little bit when it comes to the kicking phase of the game. Yep. But it's an important piece of the game, and we think he's got a chance to help us and be a good player for us. A
couple more picks that we didn't get to. You can read about those guys on Vikings.com. We got another offensive lineman, this one from UCLA. We got a defensive tackle from Florida State, Everett Dawkins. So you can go to the website to read about those guys. But I want to ask you one thing that Coach Frazier and Rick Spielman mentioned a couple times in their press conferences was the communication, not just inside the draft room during the weekend, but in the process leading up to the draft when you're evaluating these prospects, the communication between coaches and scouts. You've been at this for a long time. Do you obviously Rick and Coach feel like the communication is good. I'm sure you do too, but talk about the importance of that, being able, scouts, to work with coaches.
Everybody in the league does it. It's become the norm rather than the exception. So, we enjoy having our coaches involved. They bring somewhat of a different perspective to what they're doing, evaluating players, maybe more so than the scouts. Mm-hmm. I think the scouts grade more athletic talent maybe rather than position specifics at times. But, there's – The best part about working with this particular staff is there aren't any egos. They're doing their job to help us with our jobs and to help us win games and the lines of communication are great. There's disagreements, but nobody's disagreeable.
Right.
I mean it's. They see. I mean, everybody sees players differently at times, and we talk it out, and we're all on the same page at the end of the day. And there's a certain level of trust that we have with them and for them. And so it's a good working relationship. It's one that I enjoy spending time with these guys, and they worked extremely hard getting all these players evaluated when they're trying to. They're coming off a season where they haven't had a day off for 6 months, and it's a great help for us, and it's a tremendous addition to the whole process.
There's a lot of old school football guys in our draft room. Guys that people don't know their faces or their names, but Frankie and Paul and Kevin and the whole crew. A lot of old school football guys, but there's also the new school way of scouting with technology and the sabermetrics and all of that. How do you go about blending those two things? I mean, there's new technology that you guys can use, but I mean, there's also a big part of you that you just have to rely on old school scouting, right?
At the end of the day, take all the height, weight, speed, and test scores, and psychological profiles, and matrices, and Wonderlics, and at the end of the day, it's what do they do on tape? How
right.
do they play? If they're good players on tape, then you take every other piece of information that you have, and you develop a profile for that player. So, I mean, that's really the most important thing that we do, and it sometimes gets lost in the shuffle. It's how do they play on Saturdays? How do they play on Sunday? How do they prepare during the course of the week? What kind of football character do they have? What kind of intelligence level do they have? And are they going to be good in the locker room and good in the community?
Yep.
So, I mean, it's but really the most important part of what we do is evaluating football players
right.
and how they play the game.
And if they love the game or not. I mean, you can watch a guy. It's hard to project how he's going to be as a player, but you can tell whether or not he's going to always love the game. I mean, in some of the guys we've drafted, I used Chad Greenway as an example earlier. I mean, there's a guy who lives, eats, and breathes the game. And even if his skill level is a little bit below a guy he's taken on or a guy at his position that could have gone before him, maybe he gets the edge because of how much he cares about the game, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's Rick has preached about that for years, too. It's just, do they love playing the game? And typically, you know, when you see a player flying around on the football field, he generally loves what he's doing. Because it's you know, it's not easy. And Chad's one of those guys who he's a perfect example. I mean, he'd play for free.
That's right.
I mean, it's so there's no question of whether or not Chad Greenway likes to play football.
Well, there's three things we know in life: death, taxes, and Scott Studwell goes fishing after the draft. Right? Is that going
to
happen this year?
Well, to be honest with you, no, I'm not going this year.
What?
Both our daughters are getting married up at the cabin this summer. So I have to go up there and start making wedding preparations to get our grounds.
I'll tell you what,
set for that,
drafting a kicker, drafting a punter, and now you don't get to go fishing after that.
What is
going on?
I don't know. It's a crazy world sometimes.
Yeah, Vikings fans should feel pretty good though about our draft class, you think?
Well, I would certainly hope so. I know we do. You know, time will tell. Obviously, we're pleased with the process. We think we got some great young players in the fold here. We think they should all be able to come in and contribute in one way, form or another. Mm-hmm. We're very pleased about the additions. We think they're going to be good in the community. They're going to be hopefully great on Sundays, and they should make us a better team.
All right. Congratulations on being done.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Enjoy the weddings, too.
Will do.
Scott Studwell, Ring of Honor member. Member of the 50 Greatest Vikings, leading tackler in team history, now the director of college scouting for your Minnesota Vikings, breaking down the 2013 draft. That is it for us today. Thanks again for listening. To play us out, we leave you with a clip from the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. Take it away.